Ja, dear Ambassador Gottwald, dear Professor Gideon and Ms. von Rüden from the KIT, dear Professor Seibel, dear Dr. Fleckenstein, dear Ms. Schwarz from the Federal Foreign Office, warm welcome to our experts, Mr. Schumann, Mr. Schreier and Mr. Naschet, as well as to Ms. Len and Mr. Schmidtchen from our ministry. Welcome to the University of Konstanz. Our university was successful in a competition of several institutions of higher education for funds that enable us to organize a program under the headline Leadership for Syria. It is a particular site program that introduces into basic aspects and principles of democratic government, sustainable economic development, and personal leadership. In my own judgment, it is an amazing project, and I'm proud and happy that we are able to run it here. The program is made possible by funds whose major part comes from the German Federal Foreign Office, but it is remarkable that the state government of North Rhine-Westphalia is also participating in the financial support of this program. As Vice President of the German Rectors Conference, known as the Voice of the Universities, I definitely appreciate this effective example of cooperative federalism. The list of guests and participants of this afternoon's event is indicative not only for the nature of this particular program, Leadership for Syria, but also for the place where it is being organized. The University of Konstanz not only has a strong tradition in international exchange and cooperation, but also a strong tradition in combining high-quality research and teaching with the transfer of knowledge for practical purposes. Of course, we take pride in the fact that we belong to the small segment of 11 German universities that were successful in the so-called Initiative for Excellence. But we know that we earned this status not through excellent research alone. Instead, excellence of research and teaching is based on two core ingredients, resources and spirit. We do have the resources. In a place like this, this does not just mean money and infrastructure, it means above all, brains. And those brains are not just located in research and teaching. They are also located in the supporting staff. Without this university wouldn't survive a single day. A special program like this, devoted to the education of a future leadership for Syria, would be unthinkable without the initiative and relentless support by two particular units. One is the Academy of Advanced Studies under its director, Dr. Ulrich Wacker, and the other one is our international office under its director, Dr. Nani Klau. But let me briefly focus on the scholarly brains. Of course, a rector sells his or her university at any given moment and opportunity. However, this is the easiest part of my job, because the professors and researchers basically sell themselves. They do that in their own scholarly community, and according to all standards and yardsticks, their performance in research and teaching is outstanding. Not because I say so, but because it is approved in a constant process of reviews and decision-making on countless publications and financial grants for future research. Actually, the University of Konstanz ranks first in terms of grant mobilization per professor in Germany. Moreover, this is an internationalized university. Some 1,500 out of approximately 12,000 students currently enrolled are foreigners. And in an average academic year, we are hosting more than 100 foreign professors and researchers as long-term guests. This also pertains to the network of external experts who support our contribution to the program Leadership for Syria. Most of them are Konstanz University graduates, including the chairman of our alumni association, Ambassador Peter Gottwald. What I also want to emphasize when it comes to resources is that this particular program is a prominent example of e-learning. In this respect, it might easily be a pioneering project. As you, as a participant in the program, know very well, the teaching part is entirely internet-based. It consists of webinars instead of seminars. You obtain your teaching material by a particular website, and you communicate with your professors and tutors through special electronic channels. We do that in close cooperation with the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, or KIT, and its Center for Media-Based Learning under its director, Daniel Weichsel. In other words, this is truly a joint venture. So far, about resources, human resources in particular. But just like I said, excellence is not just about resources. It is also, and maybe even primarily so, about spirit. I also have to mention yet another performance indicator, which is that in a worldwide ranking published in 2015 and evaluating the performance of the worldwide 50 top universities aged 50 years and younger, the University of Konstanz ranks first in Germany. And we believe this is no coincidence. What makes us tick is that we kept alive a spirit of common entrepreneurship based on individual excellence of researchers and academic teachers. We are a relatively small university on the German scale, and smallness means closeness. Closeness, in turn, facilitates connectivity and synergies. But for synergies actually being mobilized, you need the spirit of cooperation for a common purpose. At this university, that purpose always included devoted teaching. You will soon realize what this implies. No less than 22 professors and postdocs are teaching in this very program. They are supported by some 30 tutors, more than 50 men and women, many of them leading scholars in their respective discipline. They all decided to contribute to this program on an entirely voluntary basis. Nobody told them to do so. Quite a number of students now working as tutors in the program were eager to join the support staff, declaring their readiness to work even without pay. This is spirit. It means doing something together with others because you think it's right. As participants in the program Leadership for Syria, you should not confine your aspirations to the use of resources for acquiring more skills and knowledge. Make sure that have yourself infected by with that particular spirit displayed by your academic teachers at this university. Ultimately, that's the best way to use resources most effectively. Thank you very much, and once again, welcome at the University of Konstanz.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon, dear Ambassador Gottwald, dear Professor Rüdiger, dear Professor Seibel, dear Dr. Wacker, dear Mr. Schmidtchen, and dear colleagues from the University of Konstanz and KIT Karlsruhe, dear DAD colleagues, dear ladies and gentlemen, and last but definitely not least, actually the very reason why we are here, dear scholars. Before I continue, I would like to apologize Mrs. Schwarz and Ms. Bayer. One, Mrs. Schwarz from the German Federal Foreign Office and Ms. Bayer from the Ministry of Innovation, Science and Research from North Rhine-Westphalia. They send their regards and they deeply regret that they can't make it to be with us today. It's my pleasure being here today and attend together with all of you the first face-to-face workshop of our Leadership for Syria program. The name leadership for Syria became quite a dictum or even a winged word. But even beyond that, it really wants our scholars to be or become when they part, or even, as the name says, leading figures in the reconstruction process of Syria once the war is over. Around 2.5 years ago, you took the decision to apply for a DAAD scholarship for this special program, a program jointly funded by the German Federal Foreign Office and the Ministry of Innovation, Science and Research of North Rhine-Westphalia. If you look back, dear scholars, you probably all remember the moment when you submitted your application. That was probably a moment, a decision-making moment, where you have reached, let's say, the first milestone of a long journey, where you probably just reach half of it, or as we call it in German, Bergfest. And this very moment was probably combined with a lot of anxiety of hopefully being selected. You all went through a very tough and strict selection process, and you certainly recall the situation of your interview, maybe right before you entered the room, when you met or were confronted with a delegation of professors and staff of DAAD who asked you, I can imagine, tons of questions. Here you had the chance to discuss your ideas, motivation, your future plans, and I guess this experience must also have been quite new for you. However, just to mention that this is a standard procedure for all of our individual scholarship holders being funded by DAAD. After the interview, of course, you can imagine another period of waiting began, ending with a relieving message that you were successful in your interview performance, which meant eventually you were being selected among more than 5,000 applicants, and that's something that you can really be proud of. And now you are part of a large group of scholars. Let me mention, more than 100,000 scholars from all over the globe are funded each year by DAAD, and they are all selected on the basis of academic excellence. And that reflects a major part of our strategy 2020. It means we are providing scholarships for the best. And, well, this moment where you've been selected was probably just the start of a new and sometimes, well, probably challenging period of your life, and you just reached like half of it. And 1 year ago, to look back once more, you took part like in an event in the German Federal Foreign Office in Berlin, where you were addressed by our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Frank-Walter Steinmeier. And during the conference, many workshops took place, and you actively mentioned, discussed, and expressed the desire for deeper knowledge of topics like anti-corruption strategies, separation of politics and religion, principles of good governance, principles of democracy, rule of law, corporate social responsibility, issues of security and safety, critical thinking, leading and management skills, and so on and so forth. And we all, and I'm convinced that at this point I can speak for all of us, are very happy that we have chosen such a fantastic group of scholars who show such a deep and active interest in these topics, which go beyond of what is being taught and learned at your respective universities. I think it's worth mentioning that some of our scholars have already been awarded with some prizes in the past month, like, for example, the Sparkassenpreis at Duisburg-Essen University, and that they engage into tandem activities with the Studienstiftung des Deutschen Volkes, or that they are involved into mentoring programs which are being like offered by the Universitätsstiftung. Or, and that's also very, very, something that we really appreciate is like your deep social commitment towards other Syrians who reach Germany. Today we are in Konstanz, and I would like to extend my gratitude to Professor Rüdiger, to Professor Seibel, and to Dr. Wacker, and the entire team of Konstanz University, who managed to tailor within, which is really remarkable, a very short time, a very fantastic, and as far as I could see it on the paper, stimulating program. We all know that it's not easy to organize and coordinate an event and an entire program for more than around 200 people, and to design and produce learning and teaching materials, online modules, videos, and webinars. All these courses were carefully tailor-made for our scholars, which shows that this program is something unique and special. The skills that you will be acquiring are highly needed in nowadays world. I do not want to go into details, but the latest happening of world politics are directing us into a future where critical thinking, innovative ideas, and the ability to deal with unforeseen situations are more than necessary. Dear scholars, please, if I may say so, take advantage of this wonderful program and make the best out of it. We know that you're all busy in your studies and you probably think that you should be sitting right now at your desk at home preparing your next assignment. But we really ask you to participate and really, make the best out of it and engage into these extracurricular activities. And out of experience, I can only tell you such a break can be very recreating and refreshing for your mind, and you should use this face-to-face workshop to network and exchange ideas with your fellows and the university staff here. For now, I wish all of us a very exciting and inspiring workshop. Thank you very much.
Well, as you notice, I couldn't wait to welcome you. My name is Wolfgang Seibel. I'm a professor of political and administrative science at this very university, and I think my quasi-official title is scientific head of the Konstanz part of the general program Leadership for Syria. It's a very long title, and I will try to avoid it in what lies ahead of us in terms of the entire program. I welcome, of course, our dear guests and colleagues, my fellow colleagues, and particularly I would like to extend my welcome greetings to you as the participants of this program. Salam alaikum. Wallah. Walachlam wachsachlam bikum, fi Konstanz. It was not my intention to provide applause here, but I would like to mention that the fact that I was able to pronounce it at least in a way that you understood what I said, I owe that to my son-in-law, Dr. Mohammed Nadim Schumann, whose family is from Latakia. So you realize that I have not only professional motivations to participate and to be involved in this program. Many of you have also realized, well, this is a particular day. It's not only because you are sitting here together with us in this lecture hall, but it was exactly 98 years ago, on November the 11th, that a war ended. And a war that had claimed the lives of some 10 million people. It's known in English language as the Great War and in French as La Grande Guerre. But on November the 11th, 1918, not only the war ended, but the end of the war also paved the way for the implementation of an agreement signed 2.5 years earlier between the British and the French. And the subject was the future of the Arab territories within the Ottoman Empire, then an ally of Germany and Austria, and consequently England's and France's enemy. That agreement, as you may also know, was named after the diplomats who had brokered it, Marc Sykes and François-Georges Picot. The Sykes-Picot Agreement of May 1916, initially kept secret, envisaged the partition of the southern parts of the Ottoman Empire into two zones under British and French control. The agreement was finally confirmed in 1922, when these two spheres of influence were transformed into mandates under the formal authority of the League of Nations, but in fact remained British and French protectorates, while the core of the British mandate were Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine, today Israel. The core of the French mandate became Lebanon and Syria, which is why many of you might have learned French as first foreign language in school. So in a nutshell, without November the 11th, 1918, you would not be sitting in this lecture hall. But that would, of course, be only a very abstract information that barely conceals the contradictious and conflict-ridden history of the Middle East since then. It's a history in the course of which the notion of transferring Western political ideals and institutions turn out to be just as illusory as the notion and the practice of authoritarian rule. Which brings me to the subject and the philosophy, if you will, of the very program you are participating in. This program, entitled Leadership for Syria, is basically simple and modest. The prime purpose is not to contribute at all to all the efforts to make the world a better place. Its prime purpose is just to enable a very small cohort of young Syrian citizens to get a highly qualified academic education in various fields, primarily in the natural sciences, engineering, medicine, and the humanities. The entire program, not just the additional curriculum under the auspices of this university, is based on one single principle, which is sustainability. Neither is it about abstract models to be transferred to a future Syria, nor is it a sort of democratic re-education program. The main purpose of the Constance part of the program is to make you familiar with the challenges and experiences connected to leadership in various ways. After all, it is you, it is your generation that at some point has to rebuild Syria, regardless of the circumstances under which that endeavor will take place. This program invests in the future of Syria literally in the form of human capital. It invests in you. And precisely because the dire circumstances under which you and your fellow Syrians will have to bring that capital to bear, it is important and I feel indispensable to overcome the deep pessimism that is the dominant mindset, not only as far as the Middle East is concerned, but also as far as we in the West, and in particular as far as the European Union is concerned. We should remind ourselves of what the French call la longue durée, the long endurance of geopolitical developments as well as of success stories that were created under dire conditions, similar to the ones you will be facing once back in Syria. When I was a boy, the consequences of a war Germany had itself waged were still visible in more than one sense. People of my age remember the streets and cities where every second building was destroyed and not yet rebuilt. The country itself, Germany, was dismantled, with its two parts, the West and the East, belonging to two different spheres of a bipolar geopolitical order, the order of the Cold War. In case of yet another conflict, Germans would have been shooting on Germans, killing each other mercilessly, and according to all likelihood, wiping out the rest of what had been a rich and prosperous country, which with strong institutions and a rich culture shaped by tradition and diversity. In 1945, when the Second World War ended, virtually nobody would have predicted that half a century later, a reunified Germany would be again a strong and prosperous country at the heart of Europe. I hope it is obvious why I, here and now, refer to this miraculous rebirth of my own country, literally out of the rubble. And yet we should not perceive and interpret the demise and rebirth of Germany as a naive success story that could be copied elsewhere. It was a result of arduous and complex political learning. And that learning included determined international institution building and support. Long before the notion of globalization became part of a worldwide jargon, the very fact of political and economic interdependence and the experience of self-destructive wars had made salience the indispensability of international institutions and stable multilateral arrangements. And it is a profound irony that enduring success conceals its own prerequisites, a It's a very basic psychological mechanism. The more successful you are, the more you take success for granted. It is more than unfortunate that this also applies to the unparalleled success story of international organizations and agreements. The fading memory of two catastrophic wars in Europe in the 20th century contributes to a renaissance of political myopia based on nationalism, ignorance, and a mental flight from reality that is gaining momentum in quite a number of European countries, including member states of the European Union. And I force myself to avoid any comment on what had happened at the far side of the Atlantic Ocean earlier this week. It is indeed the European Union itself that, as a consequence, suffers the most from a weakened historical memory that undermines the foundations of its own remarkable success. It is no coincidence, however, that Germany used to be one of the most ardent defenders of regulated globalization and European integration. This country had miraculously survived the consequences of its own ignorance of basic rules of conduct in a world of irreversible political and economic interdependence. That survival originated from an undisputed commitment to the multilateralism of foreign and security policy and a continuously intensified integration in the framework of what ultimately became the European Union. Not a single country on this globe is more dependent on international trade and thus international peace and stability than Germany, a country that generates some 50% of its gross domestic product on the export market. Not everybody among our international trade partners is, by the way, happy with this. And it is only through firm international embeddedness that a strong and potentially hegemonic Germany is acceptable to the outside world. Germany also promoted the first written security strategy of the European Union back in 2003, actually in response to the Iraq War. The remarkable key phrase of that strategy, also known as Solana paper, named after the then High Representative for Foreign and Security Policy of the EU, Javier Solana, that phrase read, and I quote, "Our task is to promote a ring of well-governed countries to the east of the European Union and on the borders of the Mediterranean with whom we can enjoy close and cooperative relations," unquote. It is more than obvious that that strategy failed, partly even as far as the east of the European Union is concerned, but certainly as far as the borders of the Mediterranean are concerned. Ukraine and Syria sadly demonstrate this very fact. However, it is still the strategic interest of Germany to promote the very ideas and objectives of the European Security Strategy of 2003. Whose ghostwriter, as Javier Solana's chief of staff, was, by the way, no other than the current chief advisor of Chancellor Merkel for Foreign and Security Affairs, Christoph Heusgen. It is again no coincidence that Germany attempts to strike a balance between protective and supportive measures in the current refugee crisis. This is not that much about a transfer of political ideas and concepts, just like I said, but instead about institution-building skills designed to strengthen the indigenous resources in those very countries in the east of the European Union and the borders of the Mediterranean. One should admit that at some point that strategy lacked resolve and clarity, especially as far as Syria is concerned. For quite a while, German diplomacy confined itself to the role of a passive observer as far as the actual high politics were concerned. However, beneath the surface of high politics and visible crisis diplomacy, Germany mobilized political and financial resources in the order of several hundred millions of euros in support of refugee relief, infrastructure, by the way, for the Geneva peace talks, and last but not least, for this program, Leadership for Syria. It is just in the spirit of the European Security Strategy, a program to the mutual benefit. So what should be mentioned for the sake of honesty and clarity is that some German selfishness is involved. The program costs German taxpayers some 10 million euros, counting your individual stipends, and to a very minor degree, the supporting program we are running here at the University of Konstanz. But it is just in the German interest, as it is in the interest of the entire European Union, to invest in a future Syria, however inconceivable peace and stability in your home country might appear today. Since there will be, and there has to be, a return of investment, we don't expect loyalty in return, at least not loyalty to the country that makes possible your college education. But we do expect that you live up to the standard that is appropriately expressed in the program's name, leadership. Leadership does imply loyalty, but loyalty to those who invest their hopes in your professional competence and your sense of responsibility. Leadership is about one's own career and achievements, as well as about one's family, a company, an authority, and ultimately the wider community. Even if it sounds pathetic these days, you may remind yourself of the famous key phrase of John F. Kennedy's inaugural address as U.S. president: ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. You all are sitting together with us here in this hall for a reason. At first glance, the reason is banal, but it is simply because you were successful, just as Dr. Fleckenstein pointed out, in a highly competitive selection process for stipends funded by the federal government of Germany and enabling you to study at one of this country's institutions for higher education. By definition, you are part of a future elite, and you have every right to enjoy this privilege. But just like in the old days of ruling nobilities, the principle is still valid, noblesse oblige. Privileges come with a price tag. They entail obligations. You should acknowledge that price tag. This is not a moral requirement, let alone admonishment. It is a principle of solid common sense. Because stable and prosperous societies are built on the acknowledgement of burden sharing and reciprocity. Leadership implies responsibility, and responsibility is burdensome. Privileges may compensate for that burden, but they only will be accepted by the non or underprivileged, whose life is even more burdensome, if they have good reasons to believe that the privileged ones pay something back to the benefit of all. What makes me confident that my barely concealed appeal to your patriotism will pay? Again, this is about you as well as about us. You have been recruited for this program not for the sake of charity, not because you are nice people or because you belong to the deserving poor in desperate conditions. You were recruited because you qualified for the program on a highly competitive basis. Only about 4% out of more than 5,000 applicants made it into this program. This was not luck, it was not chance. It resulted instead from your own intellectual strength and merit. Take pride in it. The very same fact, however, entails a message for all of us. Your fields of study are as broad as one can imagine, ranging from physics to construction engineering and political science or law. And now you're sitting here in a lecture hall of a university in southern Germany at Lake Konstanz because, let's face it, you are required to do so. We have not the slightest illusion about the gap between what made and makes you tick when devoting your time and efforts to your own discipline of study and the motivation to participate in this side program that itself is demanding and time-consuming and whose benefit might appear far less tangible than the subjects of your respective field of study. But believe it or not, this is just another privilege. You are a distinguished group of young Syrian citizens per se, because you made it into the program. But what will really distinguish you from ordinary physicists, lawyers, physicians, chemists, engineers, biologists, etc., is that you learn something they usually don't learn. And the reason is that they, the ordinary high-skilled people, usually live under stable and peaceful conditions in the belief that they can afford to take those conditions for granted. And this is obviously not the situation you will be dealing with. So you will learn about the nature of peace settlements and public security, about normative principles of democracy and the rule of law, the role and varieties of civil society, about the art and craft of designing political institutions for multi-ethnic societies, the challenges of corruption and organized crime. You will learn something about the principles and institutions of transnational economic cooperation and what that has to do with the logic and institutions of the so-called neighborhood policy of the European Union. Unlike the average graduate in the natural science and engineering or medicine, you will be familiar with the principles and institutions of social policy and educational systems. You will have acquired substantial knowledge in the ethics of public administration and about corporate social responsibility, about the nature of teams and teamwork, and the mobilization of individualized human capital. And last but not least, you may have learned how to cope with post-traumatic syndromes once back in a country of ubiquitous human suffering. Of course, you should never use that knowledge like you use a book of recipes. Rather, it is a reservoir of awareness and consciousness. Like any sort of abstract knowledge, it has to be adapted to the circumstances at hand. But especially when those circumstances are complex and conflict-ridden, it is helpful to have a firm backing in terms of abstract knowledge and principles. It is like with a strong but flexible spine. It combines a backbone and muscles. We provide the bone. You provide the muscles. We provide theoretical and evidence-based knowledge, creating, as we hope, awareness and consciousness, while you use your proven smartness and intellectual capability that alone makes you responsible leaders. We made efforts to facilitate that task. I'm happy and kind of proud again that the program here in Konstanz is supported by accomplished leaders from almost every relevant institutional segment, ranging from municipal and state-level administration to the diplomatic service, from the United Nations to transnational non-governmental organizations. And I extend my deep gratitude to these experts, and I will introduce them to you after the coffee break. And let me finally also address in all modesty what distinguishes us in our self-definition and self-perception, the professors and scholars of the university teaching these courses, whose subject I just mentioned. I can't help telling that this is a brilliant bunch of teachers, many of whom, as the rector mentioned, leading scholars in their respective field. But that is not even the most important thing. What makes me proud when organizing and running this particular part of the program Leadership for Syria is the fact that when we were preparing our grant proposal back in April this year, every single colleague I approached spontaneously and without the slightest hesitation said the same thing. Yes, I'll be happy to participate. You all have become aware already that this program is being run basically by key staff members with whom many of you have already been in touch. And it is my pleasure to introduce them to you here and now at this very moment. You see them here, including myself, and you see Dr. Ulrich Wacker, the head of the program management, as well as his co-head, Dr. Patrick Laurency, and Barbara Derrico, who is in charge of running the face-to-face workshops, like this one here, then Marius Bayer, the coordinator for the tutors, Jörg Schickel, who manages the so-called virtual classroom, Daniel Weichsel from the KIT, who is in charge of the blended learning aspects, with Lena Schöneberger, who is running all the video productions. We all, finally, scholars and experts, staff and professors alike, we share the conviction that this is an amazing program, and we believe that working with you will make a difference for us as teachers and experts, just as for you, the participants. Above all, however, for the future beneficiaries, back in Syria, regardless of the time span that may elapse between now and your return to your country. So I conclude in saying, Atamanna lakom al-najah wal-tawfiq. Thank you very much.